Friday Night Prayer School, 2 weeks ago, we began our little series here on prayer. We're going to get so established in prayer that you can't beat it out of us with a stick. It wouldn't come out of you because it'd be so ingrained in you that this is the way to pray. This is the way the Word of God teaches you to pray. And you will have effective prayers. Your prayers will be so effective, people will be calling you up. Please pray for me. Glory be to God forever. And that's what we're doing in this church. If you guys are the only ones here, well, glory be to God. Welcome to some more weight. What happens if you remove a couple pillars from a building? The rest of the weight is distributed onto those remaining pillars. So if you're the last one standing, guess what? You get to hold it all up. Glory be. Remember Paul talking about that? He said, I'm under the weight of the daily administration of the churches and praying for everybody. He was carrying a lot of weight because a lot of people, think about it. He comes into a place, he gets all these people saved and born again, and baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they don't know anything. Who's carrying them? That's like giving birth to 1,000 people all at once. 1,000 babies going, wah, 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 wah. So if you'll open with me to, glory be to God. Let's go to John 16:23. It's where we've been launching off of. We're going to continue to launch off of this. John chapter 16 and verse 23. So let's pray right before we get into this. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your holy written word. I thank you that it is life to us and we have found it. We've tapped in, Father, and we know that you speak to us through this book, the Bible. We know that your words come alive to us and seep down in us and help us grow. It's food, it's life, and we love it. We're asking for more, Father, right now, tonight, for ourselves and for other people who hear this message. Let these words come alive to them. Let it affect their prayer life. Let them be radically and completely changed, never to be the same again, in Jesus' name. And root out things that may be disinformation or maybe religious thoughts. Let us get right down in there, Father, and really get into the meat of your word that we may know you in Jesus' name and how to pray effectively in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Hee ha ha ha. Where did I say? John 16, thank you. Verse 23. John 16, verse 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. This is Jesus talking. He's saying you're not going to ask him anything.
But I want to ask Jesus something.
No, you're not going to ask him anything. You won't need to. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And last week, or the week before, we went on at length about what it means to know the Father. First of all, you've got to be born into the kingdom of God to have him as your Father, right? He's not even your Father. We talked about people that may want something from God, but he's not their Father. He's not going to be as prone to give it to them as he is to you, but you're his child, so you just say, Dad, Dad, and he shows up. Because he knows what you like, he knows what you want, and it's never sickness and disease, and it's usually not a spanking, unless you're doing something wrong. So don't do anything wrong, and you won't get a spanking. But the spanking is never sickness and disease, is never poverty. When was the last time you took your child and because they did something wrong, you went out and cut one of their fingers off? That ought to teach them. That's abuse. Okay, that's not a spanking. That's not discipline. Or you put leprosy on them. You went down to, the local contaminant shop where they have vials of nastiness. And you put some plague on them or something. That ought to teach them. No, you disciplined them. You told them what they were doing wrong, and then you either spanked them, or you reprimanded them, or you took one of their privileges away, and that's just the way it is. Glory be to God. It's the same way with God. You don't want him to take your privileges away, nor do you want a little spanking of him just turning his back on you a little bit. And you get a child who's really well disciplined, all you got to do is look at them wrong, and they get upset. That's the way we should be. God, just look at you wrong, like, stop that. And then that just makes us upset, all right? But that's by knowing the Father. He's your Father. Square number one. If we can establish that, that he's your Father. Jesus said you're going to pray to the Father, and whatever you ask the Father, your Father, he will give it you in Jesus' name. Then we went on to tell about all the things that the Father has and doesn't have. Why doesn't he put sickness and disease on you? He doesn't have it. Why don't you put leprosy on your kid? I don't have any. Or the plague or anything else. But I've got a hand, and they've got a bum. So I might put that on it. Right? Oh, brother. But the Father has only every good and perfect gift. It comes down from above, from the Father of lights, and he doesn't turn from it. All he's got's good for you, Tanja. Just good. Yeah. Good. So what are you going to go ask him for? Good. Some semi-good? Some mostly good? You're all good. That's all he has. If you ask something else, you're asking amiss. Woo! It's like firing at something and just goes the wrong direction. You're asking the wrong thing. Glory to God. I want the best for people. I pray the best for them. Glory be to God. Why? Because that's all God's got. Okay? And he's holy in that. He's holy there. He can't turn from it. That's just who he is, and he can't turn from it. And everything in heaven, we went on at length about this last time, that God's will is to be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that's what we're supposed to pray. And we have a general concept of what's in heaven, so keep it there until God expands that in your understanding about what you're supposed to pray. Pray God's will on earth as it is in heaven. And that should occupy most of your time. Okay, glory be to God. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Couple more points here about the Father, and then we will be able to move on. Do you see how these things are super important to have established? Because people are just praying prayers. Blah, 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 blah. God help them. Or they'll go down their prayer list, and they'll just read the name. I pray for so-and-so, and I pray for so-and-so, and I pray for... Well, what the heck is that? You're just naming off people's names. I know people that do that. Are you on their prayer? You're probably on their prayer list. They're praying for you. They name your name before God every night. What good does that do? I don't know. Tell me. But it doesn't look scriptural to me. You're supposed to be praying something for that person. God's perfect will on earth as it is in heaven. You become the channel, to use a really bad word, to you become the person who brings that to people who don't know how to pray. And we're going to learn how to pray that for people. Glory be to God. Why does he tell you to lay your hands on the sick? So they get more sick?
No.
So they recover. It's a manifestation of heaven on earth. You're praying God's will for them. How do you know it's God's will for them? Well, yes, but there's no sickness in heaven. Okay, let's get right into this. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. That was just in review and to wake you up. And to wake me up so I remember where we're at here. Glory be to God forever. Let's read right from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, which means giving, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in where?
Heaven.
In heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, notice he said when, thou doest thine alms, not if, maybe, sometime you did. When you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee. See, he said, don't sound a trumpet. Do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. He said they were doing this. They sounded a trumpet when they would come and give alms to somebody. Doesn't it say that? He says, don't do what they're doing. So they must have been doing it, or Jesus would have been lying. So here comes a Pharisee with his robe and his golden trumpet being carried before him. And they would blow the trumpet, and then he would give some money to the poor. That's really tooting your horn. Yeah, glory to God. It probably is. That's just disgusting. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be where? In secret. And that thy Father which sees, where is he seeing? In secret, himself shall reward thee open. We're going to see this three times. He says you're going to do something in the secret, and then the Father is going to see it where? In secret. And hold on to this, and then he's going to reward you openly. Where do you think this secret place is, by the way? Well, it's your prayer closet. No. No. Where's the Father see? The Father is a spirit, and we'll get over into that. God is a spirit. He's seeing spiritual action. He could care less about the trumpet and all this other stuff that's going on in the natural. He's not telling you to not do it. He's telling you to do it, but he's telling you to do it spiritually. Give spiritually. And this is huge. This is huge. First of all, we're talking about the Father. Then we're talking about doing something that's spiritual. It's a spiritual sowing. And then there will be a spiritual reaping. And he said, you will have your reward. Verse 5, when thou prayest... And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to stand, to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, once again, when, not if, when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father which is in secret. And your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Almost the exact same words. Go into your closet. Get out of where men are. Because they're just going to distract you. Shut the door. Who else is in there? Unless somebody's hiding under the bed. Nobody. It's just you and God. And where is he going to see you? We went on length about this, about the whole cloud of witnesses gathered around. You're never alone. But he just said, go and be alone. And then the Father's going to see you where? In there, praying. And as you're praying, he's going to hear, and then he's going to reward you in the open. All right? Where's the secret place? It's in the Spirit. Glory be to God forever. Verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. All right. Hold your place right there. Because we will be coming back. We'll flip over to John chapter 4, verse 24. Verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father. Who are they worshiping? They're worshiping the Father. We just talked about whose Father is this. He is your Father. And he's going to tell you, you don't have to worship him in Jerusalem anymore. Thank God.
Yeah.
How often would we get over there? We'd have to move over there. But you're going to be able to worship him anywhere. But the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. You think when you go into your closet, you're seeking God. He's been seeking you to get into that closet this whole time. He's looking for you. Where are you? But do you know where he's going to look? In the closet. And don't come out of the closet until you've made your connection. Where's your connection? It's in the spirit. God is a spirit. They that worship him where? In the spirit. When you do your alms. This is why I've been trying to get this body to give into the spirit, not just into the bucket. You give into the Spirit, the Father sees it, and he rewards you openly. Let's look at a quick example of this. Acts chapter 10 and verse 30. Hallelujah. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. Now, if we went down, we read a little bit about what Jesus said in chapter 6 of Matthew. He goes on to talk about fasting. Don't do your fasting before men. Don't do your praying before men. Don't do your giving before men. Do it in secret. And the Father who sees in secret or in the spirit will reward you openly. So obviously, Cornelius here had something that maybe everybody else didn't have. He learned how to give alms in the spirit. He learned how to pray in the spirit. And he learned how to fast in the spirit, which gets you in the spirit. He was doing all three of these things. Maybe he'd heard Jesus preach about it. Could be. You know, same era. Hallelujah. Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed. In my house. Was it out on the street corner before men? No, it was in his house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. That's the number one thing you're going to have is God hear your prayer if you're going to have effective prayers. Yeah. Right? And where's he going to hear it? In the natural? Because you got so loud and you bought a nice stereo system and you blasted it from the rooftop? No, you're going to go in your closet and you're going to pray to the Father in the spirit. And he sees you in secret. It's the secret place. You know what's so much fun about that? Is when you pray something that you don't tell anybody else about and then God does it. Then who's going to get the glory? God. He gets a kick out of that. Hallelujah. The angel said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Meaning that it's over. You whatever you prayed for, it's on the way. Thine alms are had in remembrance in the what of God? In the sight of God. Sight. Underline that word. What did Jesus say? He sees in secret. He sees it. Okay, how much giving, it just goes right beyond the eye of God. He doesn't even see it because it's not done the right way. It's done before men. He doesn't see that. Men see that. Don't do it so men see it. Do it so the Holy Father sees it. Glory be to God forever. Had in remembrance in the sight of God, send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he comes shall speak unto thee. I like another translation said, shall speak words to thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, that thou hast well done in that thou art come. Now therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. And he was one of the first converts. Cornelius and all of his household. Was that a blessing of God that came from heaven? Absolutely. Well, except for Brother Billy Bob. He was out on the farm that day. No, God's blessings are all inclusive. When they come from heaven, they are no shadow of turning. They are holy and complete. This came from heaven. How did this blessing come from heaven? Cornelius gave in secret. Cornelius fasted in secret. Cornelius prayed in secret. Who heard him? God, and sent an angel and told him to go get Peter, who told him words, and his whole house got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Glory be to God forever. And we know the preciousness of that. That comes from heaven. It's a manifestation of heaven on earth. Glory be to God forever. All right. All right. Let's just seal this up here. Hebrews 12:9. We just said in John 4:24 that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. This is the secret place. It's spiritual. Everybody point to your spirit. It's hard to point to. We have a general idea somewhere in your belly because Jesus said out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, but you can't see it with your natural eyes. Can you see God with your natural eyes? No. He's spiritual. And so are you. He is a spirit. I should say it that way, not God is spiritual. He is a spirit. Everybody say a spirit. Not two spirits, four spirits. Spirits, woo, everywhere. He is a spirit. You're going to pray to him in secret. In the spirit. All right? Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. And this is key to effective prayer. If you don't get these things, you miss it, and your prayers won't be effective. So hopefully we're building this so well that we will be able to pray accurately and effectively every single time. It won't be a miss. It won't go off some fire shot in the wrong direction and hit somebody else. We're going to pray the right thing to the right Father, who is a spirit. All right. Hebrews 12:9. Glory be to God forever. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? The Father of spirits. Well, he's the father of what? Well, he's the father of the nations. No, that would be Abraham. This specifically says that God is the father of spirits. He gave birth to what? Your newborn human spirit. When you confess Jesus as Lord, your man on the inside was recreated, brand new, never existed before. You were born anew of God. That's the part God gets a kick out of. That's his bouncing baby boy and girl. That's the part he likes to see grow up. And not grow up weird and twisted. Grow up correctly. And so when you learn how to pray to the Father of spirits, and you are the spirit that is praying to him, then you've made your connection. Nice and square. Does that make sense? All right. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Ha 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 ha. And die. It could have said. Maybe should have. I don't know. But and live. Glory be to God forever. All right. Quickly, 1 Corinthians 15:45. We're establishing a relationship here. Hallelujah. So let me ask you a question. When I'm praying to the Father, how am I going to pray to the Father? Am I going to pray with my mind? Am I going to try to contact the Father of Minds? Am I going to try to contact the Father of Buff Bodies? I don't know who that would be. I don't want to know who that would be. But this is very fundamental, but it is something people miss. They're just praying something. They stand up to pray, and they pray, Father, in Jesus' name, blah-bitty, 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 blah. No more. No for you. No more. No for you, no more. You are going to pray, and when you pray, you're going to pray specifically somewhere. The Father in heaven, or the Father in the Spirit, the Father of spirits. He is a spirit. You're going to pray specifically to him, and he's going to hear you when you pray in that realm. You can only do it by faith, and that's why I'm beating up on this, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as this gets established in you, you will know that when you say Father, all of a sudden that word goes from your lips and goes somewhere. Where does it go? Into the cupboard? No, it goes into the Spirit. And the Father who sees in the Spirit will reward you openly. It starts to create a mental image with you. I remember being at Rhema and Lester Summerall. Anyone here, Lester Summerall? Old time tank, man. That guy would go 24 hours a day and don't get in his way. He wouldn't let his drivers back up in his car. He'd pull up out front. And he would not let them put it in reverse. He says, I don't have time to go backwards. If we have to go around the block, we'll go around the block. I refuse to go backwards. That's why he's a tank. Just straight on. You know, if he's going to ride the bus somewhere, well, if somebody's getting saved on this bus before I get off. You know, he might remind me a lot of Wigglesworth in his day. Just bold and in your face. And this is just the way it is. He came to Rhema one time, you know, to bless us. I'm sure Kenneth Hagin had that set up. And he stood up, and I'll never forget this. He opened his mouth, and he said, Father. And when he said, Father, a peace just went over across that. You know, there's about 1,500 people in there, in that whole auditorium. Just, it was like a blanket dropped on everybody. He just said one word. Father. And guess who was listening? His prayer wasn't prayed amiss, was it? He wasn't praying to the Father of coconuts. He wasn't praying to the Father of good music. He was praying to his Father in the Spirit. And all he had to do was say, Father, and that connection was made. Then he could pray whatever he wanted. I don't remember what he prayed. Didn't matter at that point, because I got what I needed. Here's a man who knew the Father and all he had to do. And that's the profound thing that stuck out to me was when he said, Father, he'd made the connection. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. And that's the way you're going to be. I'm not just up here spitting on you. I may be spitting on you, but I'm not doing it for that reason. This is the reason. Because this is the connection. We need to develop that relationship and that close connection with him in our prayer closet so that when we say, Father, that same peace just spreads out all over the place. I don't care who's around. You're in a restaurant. You're going to pray over your food. Don't mess around unless you're going to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. We haven't even gotten to that yet. But we will. It's when we get the Father part squarely established. Who are we talking to? What does he have? Where does he live? How do we talk to him? And we do it in the Spirit. And we make our connection every time. If we're not going to make our connection, don't even play around with it. But that's why I'm preaching this, so you can get it in. You can believe that when you say those words, Father, it's going where? Nowhere else except directly into that secret place where the Father hears your prayers. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:45. Jesus is Lord. And so it is written, The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And he was the first of many brethren born. This is talking about Jesus was the last Adam. Jesus came to remove all the curse that the first Adam put everybody under. He's called the second Adam or the last Adam. And then we are born under the same brethren. We're born under the same family. Firstborn. He was. That means we're the second, third, or whatever else. Glory be to God. But we're born of the same Father. What's born? The spirit part of you. So when you pray to the Father, you're going to pray where? Out of your spirit, man. And you can picture this. Are you telling us to use our imaginations? Yes. Don't let it just sit there and rot on your shoulders. Use it for something. Imagine when you're praying to the Father, you are communicating with Him right out of your spirit, man. And it goes right into His spiritual ears in the spirit realm. Just like that, you make your connection every single time. You want prayers that are effective every single time? This is it. You want them effective every once in a while? Well, then every once in a while, just pray to the Father who may be over in the corner over there somewhere. Glory be to God forever. All right. Back to Matthew 6:6. This is why I think Jesus was so concerned about calling no man Father on earth. And you start putting emphasis on that one word, and that should be the way it is. And don't even call some of us may call our dads Father. We should stop doing it. So that you, when you release that one word out of your mouth, it goes nowhere else. It doesn't go to your dad. It doesn't go to the priest. It doesn't go to the next door neighbor. If you have a dog named Father, rename it. So that the only place that that word is ever used, it leaves your lips and it goes to the throne of God in the spirit. Does that make sense? That sounds extreme. Well, too bad. We're talking about extreme things here. We're talking about our prayers being heard and answered every single time without fail. And there's people who need that. They need you. They need you when you pray for them that your prayer goes, Father, and peace just spreads out over them because they know the Father is listening because you're praying in secret. Ha ha ha, hee hee ha. Jesus is Lord. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, but when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret, or sees in the spirit, he shall reward you openly. If you do it the right way, Jesus promised you that you will have the reward that you prayed for. And he goes and tells you what to pray for. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and this is the stream of words that should flow out of your mouth after you say, Father. You're going to pray a prayer that is God's will for whoever you're praying for to be done on earth as it is in heaven. You are never going to pray some thing amiss, something that's half-hearted, something that's just weird. You're going to pray God's will on them, and God's going to hear it because you're doing it in the Spirit. In the spirit and truth, this word is truth, and you're going to pray in line with the truth, and glory be to God, we're going to have effective prayers that are never failing, ever. My prayers never fail. Say that. My prayers never fail. I do them Jesus way, and they always work every single time. Glory be to God. All right. I hope you got something out of that. Glory be to God forever. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this message tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for revealing things to me. Thank you for revealing things to the hearer. Seal these words in them. Let them never be the same, that they may become effective in communicating with you and knowing that you are right there all the time, meeting every single need. Thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
When shall we go if we follow up to know the Lord? Shall we grow as we sow and reap from Him?
This message has been brought to you free of charge by the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. More messages are available online at www.holyghostsociety.org.